Dave Woods. This is the radio show where country music gets up close and personal. Spend some time in the country and get to know our guests. Spend some time in the country where the music's the best. The latest news and memories, two great stories that get told.
That way. Well, she worked so hard, and at the end of the day, there's a little something extra to take it all away. You see, love can conquer all, and man, I wish it were true. She's a girl with a problem, and there's nothing I can do. Nothing I can do. You keep me hanging on and hoping. I've been in love and I am, and there's so much to understand. Kiss me, you fool. Kiss me, you fool. Kiss me, you fool, before I must turn away from your heart.
Saskatchewan's Jay Semcoe achieved great success in music with the group The Northern Pikes. The group's hits include Teen Land, She Ain't Pretty, and Girl with a Problem. The Pikes were inducted into the Western Canadian Music Hall of Fame a couple of years ago. Since 1995, Jay has released 9 solo albums, including his latest called Sending Love, featuring the new single Harmony. His album before that, Force of Horses, won the 2012 Saskatchewan Country Music Association's Award for Roots Album of the Year. Lots to talk about and songs to play with my guest, Jay Semcoe. Hey, Jay.
Hey, Dave. How you doing?
Let's get into the great music. We got a couple of songs to play from the album and a lot to cover, a lot to talk about in your career. And let's go back to the Northern Pikes. Of course, so many people remember the group. I remember loving the video on the song She Ain't Pretty, She Just Looks That Way. It was a whole bunch of fun. To talk about the Northern Pikes and that success, Jay, and what kind of time that was in your life?
Well, it was a pretty neat time, Dave. I mean, it was, I was a lot younger. I was in my mid-20s, really, when the Pikes really took off. Although, interestingly enough, you know, as a kid, I mean, I took lessons and started playing, you know, the guitar and the bass and the piano at a relatively early age, and really didn't become really proficient at it until kind of my mid-teens, but really from about age 16 on, you know, I was honing my skills as a musician, and really, once I got out of high school, I played in a number of different bands and put a lot into it. So, and really, it was the same case with the other guys in the Northern Pikes. And by the time we got together as the Northern Pikes, you know, we had all played in a number of different bands and had developed our skills to the point where we were I wouldn't say we were old pros, because we were still young guys, but we
right.
had played a lot of gigs that combined and had developed a lot of experience, and we had all been, you know, I was the main writer at the beginning of the Northern Pikes, and the other guys, I was encouraging them to write, and they were writing, and it was becoming you know, very much kind of a writer's collective as the band went along. So, and then we slugged it out as the Northern Pikes really for, really, I guess about just over three years before we signed a record deal, which in the mid-80s was the thing everybody was trying to do. We got signed to Virgin Records in December of 1986 and proceeded. We had put out 2 independent albums previous to that, and
yep.
You know, we were smart. We were a smart band, and we were very much pioneers in terms of the fact that we're putting out independent records and finding where to mail them out to and who to send
right.
them to and which radio stations mm-hmm. might play our music and that kind of thing. And but it was a very exciting time. It really was. But you know, it was really a lot of work. The band was once we got into it, that really takes over your life. And it was a whirlwind of activity. And I mean, we put out 4 studio albums and then a live album and then two greatest hits albums, I guess, on Virgin, and we ended up breaking up in 1993. We called it a hiatus, but really it was we were burnt out and tired, and I think in retrospect, sometimes if I had advice to give younger bands, I'd say if you really believe in what you're doing, take a break now and then. The world won't end if you take a few months away from what you're doing and allow yourself to regroup there. And we really never really did that. And I think it was one of those things where, you know, we did burn ourselves out and went from being, you know, really close friends to people who weren't getting along very well and a number of things. But, you know, I guess it was about 6.5 years later, there was the first of two greatest hits albums came out, and it was called Hits and Assorted Secrets in 1999, and we thought it might be kind of a cool thing to go out and do a tour and
right.
to promote that greatest hits album, and we did it, and we had a lot of fun. And since then, we've kind of played off and on over the years. We did two other recordings. The last one was 10 years ago. That was in 2003. The previous to that was one in 2001. And we toured a fair amount. I would say we occasionally tour right now. And, you know, the original four guys in the group got together last September. That's Merle Brick and Brian Potvin and Don Schmidt and myself. And we were inducted into the Western Canadian Music Hall of Fame at the
That's
Western
amazing.
Canadian Music
Wow.
Yeah, it was really a cool thing. And it was very much a thrill for us. And we had all the four original guys together. And that was really a blast, actually. So we played a few songs and got inducted into the ceremony and made a few speeches, and it was fun, you know.
That's awesome. Now, I think a thread throughout all this from the Pikes and before and to date is songwriting. Right, Jay? With you, that is such a big part of why you do music, is creating the song and then, of course, performing it.
Yeah, well, really what, you know, early in the days of the Pikes, I mean, I was writing songs. And previous to that, I was in a band with Merle and Dawn and a guy named Neil Morgan, and we were called the Idols, long before American Idol
right.
began, really from 1979 to about 1982.
Yeah.
And we were very much a songwriting group, and I realized that phase, you know, that phase of my life, geez, you know, it'd be great to write our own songs, because we had been performing cover songs, and it was one of those things where I just started chipping away at it. I really didn't know what I was doing. I wrote a lot of songs that I don't think were really all that great, to put it mildly. And also, you know, didn't have my own voice. I tried to sound like other songs. And really, when I finally started writing about things that were, you know, direct influences in my life or relationships in my life or things that happened to me, and sort of when I just started being honest about the thing, you know, in the lyrics that I had going on, and also musically, just started being a little more, you know, direct and straight on. All of a sudden, it was like, oh, well, these songs are getting better, and they sound more genuine, and I really felt like I found my voice at a certain point, and that really happened in the early days of the Northern Pikes, you know, when that really kind of took off. But yeah, songs have always been the most important thing, and I mean, when the Pikes broke up in 1993, a couple of things happened, and through a series of circumstances, I ended up getting involved in a TV show called Due South, and I
right.
became one of the music composers and also
yeah.
wrote the theme song, closing and beginning theme song for it. And I also put out a solo record, and the cool thing was that the label we were on, Virgin, was they were financing each of the guys when the band broke up. They gave us each a little bit of money to do a recording of a demo of songs, and if they liked it, they would sign us directly back to their label as a solo artist. And
right.
that really became the beginning of my first solo record, which was called Mouse. And they ultimately didn't sign me, but I ended up signing with a different label, which I think was better anyway. It was Iron Music, and they were distributed through BMG, and it was... It was such a liberating experience for me to do that solo record because, I was really doing it on my own without really any A&R people or anybody from a record label, you know, contributing opinions. And not that I feel badly about the opinions contributed with the Northern Pikes. It was just it became such a big machine in some ways, and to be doing that solo record was all of a sudden, I was in a position where, boy, I can, hey, if I want to use a mandolin, I can. If I want to use a steel guitar, I can. And my roots in songwriting, you know, the stuff I grew up with around the house, you know, my dad was a big fan of Eddie Arnold and a big fan of Gordon Lightfoot, and my mother loved Joan Baez, and actually she actually had a couple of Beatles records, and you know, it was very much a folk and a songwriter. You know, Ian and Sylvia was a big one. You know, I remember my dad had the album Love and Sound, Ian and Sylvia, eight track in his car, and you know, that stuff was really stuff that I grew up listening, and I feel fortunate because it was a really high level of songwriting going on there, you know. And to this day, I can still, you know, Cattle Call and Eddie Arnold. I mean, this is great. It's like, those are things that are part of your, they become part of your DNA, you know what I mean?
Definitely.
And so
and those artists,
when it came to,
you mentioned, those artists you mentioned, we can all identify great songs with them. That's what they were known for, not beats or rhythm or, you know, it's all about the lyrics and the meaning in the song.
Well, exactly, you know, and I feel really lucky because the first show I ever saw was I went with my folks, and they took me to the exhibition grandstand. You know, there's the fair every year here in Saskatoon, and at that time they would get some big acts to come in. And the first concert I ever saw was Johnny Cash and June Carter at the exhibition grandstand. And that left a huge impression on me. First of all, Johnny was just, like, cool. My dad listened, you know, he had Live at Folsom Prison, and so I heard those songs all the time. And then seeing him all in black, and then when June came to sing, when they sang together, man, it just puts chills up your spine. Even as a kid who really didn't know exactly why I was getting, you know, I got that sensation from their voices together and just the whole reality of Johnny Cash being in there. And, you know, the next year, the band that I saw was BTO, Backman Turner Overdrive. And, you know, I mean, it's just really a
great Canadian band.
One of those things. And Sonny James was another act that I saw at that time, too.
Oh yeah,
Running Bear and Little White Dog, and I sort of.
Wow.
But anyway, those things as a kid, I think, really add up. And I also went through a phase when I was in high school, where I was listening to a lot of music that a lot of people weren't listening to, and I got turned on to this by a guy that I was working with at my part time job in high school, and he was really into what they would call alternative country at the time, and he loved music like New Riders of the Purple Sage, and Commander Cody and his Lost Planet Airmen, and the Flying Burrito Brothers, and Graham Parsons, and the Byrds, you know, Sweetheart of the Rodeo, and a lot of these things that really became, in some ways, you know, defining moments, in my opinion, for what, you know, for some of the direction that country music went in the future. And so when it came time for me to actually have the freedom to be able to start making solo records on my own, the door was wide open, and I did start using a lot of those instruments, and I was able to go back to a lot of those influences and be able to let that come out in the music that I was writing.
What did you find, Jay, over the years that helped improve your songwriting from the early stuff you did as you went along? Was it being mentored by other writers? Was it joining an organization, one of those great songwriting organizations out there? What was it that made your songs get better as time went on?
I think, you know, more than anything, and I really didn't, I was young, and I was really kind of, for lack of another word, kind of cocky and somewhat competitive when it came to songwriting. And, you know, I learned humility. Eventually, you really do. But unfortunately, you know, we didn't, and there's so many great resources now for songwriters that are getting started off with, you know, the Songwriters Association of Canada and, you know, Nashville Songwriters Association International and, you know, lots of great spots where you can get tutoring and mentoring in schools and camps and workshops and that kind of thing. But for myself, the thing that I did that helped me the most was I tried to write songs and compare them to what I thought were some of the best songs and my favorite songs I was hearing that were really popular at the time. And so it became a matter of trying to beat out the other songwriters that I thought were really good. And at that part of my life, those are people like Bruce Springsteen and Tom Petty and some I knew I would never. They were pretty tough. They hit bar really high, like Paul McCartney and that kind of. Yes, exactly. But I really just tried to write the best possible songs I could, and I was very, very self-critical and very hard on myself. And around that same time as I started writing songs, Merle from the band started writing a bit, and he didn't write as much as I did, but he's very much a natural songwriter, and he grew up with, you know, hardcore country music. His mom's favorite singer to this day is Jim Reeves, and Merle knew every song from Jim Reeves and every song from Buck Owens, and he was totally from that school of music, you know. And when the band first started, when the Pikes first started, I mean, our harmonies were very much country harmonies, you know. We had one lower, one higher, and that's what we based them off. And the band evolved into more of a rock and roll band, but we really, you know, you can really hear those roots in some of the early songs that we did. And ultimately, when we signed to the record label, we were on the same kind of circuit as Blue Rodeo was. And Blue Rodeo was kind of given the green light to move their music a little more into the country roots world. And with us, I think because the label saw where they were going with it, they sort of thought, well, no, we want to keep you guys a rock band. We don't want to be in competition with that. And so, you know, you just go with what is presented to you sometimes. You
yeah.
Know?
Yeah, and as you said, you know, with the group, you don't have as much control over the career, right? Because there's more voices, more whatever. As a solo artist, as you said before, you had a chance to become more of, to do more of the music you like.
Yeah, really, you know, I mean, I just, you know, and it's not that I didn't like the music in the Northern Pikes, but I mean,
yeah.
Like I say, we were basically slotted like, okay, you guys are going to be a rock band. And it's funny because we did some great demos where we brought in my buddy Warren Rutherford, who plays pedal steel. And I mean, he's played on almost all of my solo records. And, you know, I love the pedal steel. And we, you know, there are demos of songs that actually really changed from their demo stage to the final recording because they kind of lost their rootsiness and became a little more of a slicker pop song. But at the end of the
right.
day, you know, a good song is a good song. And I love being able to just sit down with my acoustic guitar and play a song and maybe tell people something about it and just connect on a one-to-one basis. And like I say, in the early days of the Pikes, and previous to that, I did those kind of things, and I did play coffee houses as a solo artist, just me and the acoustic guitar, and I must say nowadays, that's probably my favorite thing to do. You know, it's still fun to play with a band, it's still fun to play some Pikes shows, and it's still fun to go out and play a full band thing, but at the same time, it's really fun for me to just hang out with my acoustic and play songs for people.
Yeah, I bet you feel more connected that way. Like you said, a lot of fun with the band, but it's you and the guitar. You're telling a story about the song, where it came from. Much more of an intimate show with you and the guitar.
Yeah, well, you know, I think that was in some ways what got me kind of back into doing solo records. As I say, when in 1995 I did the solo record Mouse, the Northern Pikes had broken up,
yep.
And previous to that, I had been approached by a producer, creator of TV shows, and subsequently, you know, Emmy and Oscar winning person, Paul Haggis. And he really liked the sound of my songs within the Northern Pikes and was interested in me trying to write this theme song, and I did, and they really liked what happened with it. And then from there, asked if I was interested in scoring music. And by scoring, it's providing all the background music for all the scenes throughout the show. And he hooked me up with two other music composers, John McCarthy and Jack Lanz, both who were great and award-winning music composers for film and television on their own. And I came from a different school. I came from more of a rock and roll songwriter background. And they put the three of us together, and we came up with the music for Due South. And it really was something that in some ways completely invigorated my love for music. I was a bit burnt out from the end of the Northern Pikes, and I ended up going, wow, this is really cool. And it opened the door to me to do collaborations. We ended up actually writing some songs together for the show, because what would happen is they would want a certain song that was either unavailable or really expensive to to be able to purchase the you know the rights to be able to use it in the show.
Right.
So we write songs, or not necessarily copies of those songs, but songs that were along the same line, and the three of us write those songs together. And that all of a sudden, because it's funny, in the Northern Pikes, there was a few songs that we kind of wrote as co-writes, but really didn't, you know, it was not a co-writing band. It was basically individual writers. And anyway, the show finished in 98, and, you know, I worked on a number of other TV shows. I guess the Pikes did some stuff in there. And in 2005, a guy named Marshall Ward, who is a friend of mine and was a professor, or is a professor at University of Waterloo, our professor, and also a director and producer of documentaries, wanted to do a documentary about basically the writing and recording of a song from its inception until the recorded version of it. And he approached me about it, and, you know, I had provided some music for another documentary he had worked on, and I thought, well, okay, this is kind of cool. Well, you want to do a documentary about me doing a song. And so he came out with a film crew to Saskatoon, and I set it up, and I really didn't have anything in mind other than a lyric, and ended up working on a song that was called Level Set You Free that became this documentary. And it was really from, you know, me still working on the lyrics and the music to bringing it into the studio and recording with other musicians. And it was a bit of a documentary about, you know, my background in music and that kind of thing as well. And I ended up, you know, really having fun with it and thinking, geez, you know, how come I ever, why did I stop putting out solo records? I did this one about 10 years ago, and it was kind of fun. And I got so caught up in being a studio person and with some of the Pikes recordings that we had done, I thought, well, I should do another solo record. So that really started the chain. And I mean, I've done one since 2005, I've done almost one every year. I just got on a roll and I kept going with it. And the other thing that I started doing was co-writing. And someone had suggested to me that you should go down to Nashville and do some co-writing. And I was very much I came from that school of, well, how could you possibly ever get together with somebody and write something of any substance or meaning within a few hours in a co-writing session? You know, I really sort of thought that because some of my songs, I mean, some of them I wrote in 20 minutes and some of them I wrote in 10 years. You know, I really didn't have a set pattern of doing it.
Yeah.
And so I did a trip down to Nashville on the recommendation of some friends, and I set up some writing appointments. And the first one I had was with a guy who's become one of my best friends, Mr. Tim Taylor.
Great guy.
He's a great guy, and
yeah,
we just clicked, and it was so fun. And it was just like, man, this is cool. And I ended up writing some stuff with Tim, also with Steve Fox, and with a number of other writers. And the first trip, I was down there for 2 weeks, and it became very much a domino effect. And I really, really, really enjoyed myself. And it got me thinking, well, you know, I really like recording and writing songs, and I want to keep doing it. And I really started doing it more or less for myself. You know, I wasn't necessarily writing for any other purpose other than I just felt like it was something I wanted to express and get out of my system. And I felt like, wow, I can make country records. I can make roots records, and nobody's going to tell me anything different. I have complete freedom to be able to do that. And was very fortunate to hook up with a label, an independent label out of Kitchener, Ontario, Busted Flat Records, Mark Logan's label. And Mark has just really given me free rein to do what I do. And I try and keep the records within a certain budget. And I just love being able to record the songs and do what I did. And I've had so many great experiences doing the solo records that it's just something that I feel is really something I'm really fortunate to be able to do.
It must be a great feeling too, Jay, not only loving what you do, but also back in 2012, the Saskatchewan Country Music Association, you won the Roots Album of the Year for the album just before this one called Force of Horses. That's got to be a great feeling to get that from your province.
It was really cool. You know, I've been really lucky in my life. I've won a couple of awards, but, you know, you get nominated, and I really, for me, that's as much as I ever really, to be included in a nomination of four or five artists for anything to do with music, to me, is just such a privilege and such a thrill. And, I was nominated for Roots Album of the Year for Force of Horses, and it won. And I didn't know what to say. I sort of went up. And Blake
pretty
Edmonds
amazing.
Was he had announced it before, and I was just like, holy smokes, you know. Usually you can't shut me up, you know, but I didn't really know what to say that night. So, but it was very much an honor. It really is a cool thing, and it felt great. And you know, it felt really good for me in particular because, you know, country music is not where I originally was known for coming from. And to be accepted more than anything for me as a songwriter within that genre felt great. It was very, very gratifying. And, you know, I love country music and I love the people in country music. And I really love there's an openness in terms of songwriting that I found so incredibly refreshing after coming from more of a, for lack of another word, testosterone-fueled world of rock and roll where it was really competitive. And it's, and yeah. You know, my first trip to Nashville, people were so nice and so accommodating and so helpful that it just opened a whole other set of doors for me. And I started attending the CCMAs back in the mid-2000s and have made a lot of friends and done a lot of co-writing with a lot of different people. And it's just been a blast. And I've been allowed to take my music in any direction I really choose. And really the direction that I choose is really what I would call roots, folk, country, pop. You know, nobody's necessarily defining everything for me, and I'm just kind of lucky enough to be in that position where I can kind of do what I want to do.
It's nice to have that freedom. Now let's turn to your album, Sending Love, which is your current album. We're going to hear the first single from it in a moment. I'll let our listeners as well know they can head to jsemco.com to learn more about you. Lots of information there and song samples. The song is Come Get a Little Love. And when I was listening to this, I was hearing a bit of Johnny Cash in there with the deep voice, of course, and just some of the presentation of it. But tell us about the idea behind the song, Jay.
Well, you know what? I wrote this song, actually, when I was recording at MCC Studios, MCC Recording Studios in Calgary, which is where I recorded Sending Love. It's a great studio, and I had a great experience recording there with Johnny Gasparic, co-producing and engineering, and Dave Temple, who's the studio owner and studio manager, and my partner Collie, and it was really, a lot of it was the four of us hanging out in the studio. I had some great guests, and that particular song, Come Get a Little Love, I wrote in this little alcove, and I kind of had the idea for this, and I told Collie when we were driving back to the hotel after the session the previous day, I said, you know, I really think I need kind of a bluesy, straight-ahead foot stomper kind of song on the record. And I didn't really have one at that time, and I just sort of got this groove and do 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 do. You know, I just had that kind of groove going.
Yeah.
As we walked into the hotel room, and I said, "You got to give me a second." And I just started humming this, and you know, I hummed it into my little mini recorder, and you know, I have a number of recordings like that. If anybody heard them, they'd think I was nuts because they're just like, you know, and I'm snapping my fingers and stuff, that kind of thing. But it became the idea, and the next day I just kind of started formulating this thing. And literally, the next day after that, 2 days after that, went in and we cut it. And it was just, my part of my mandate on Sending Love was I thought, if I don't need to use drums on a song, I'd rather not. I want to keep it as organic as possible. So Come Get a Little Love is hand clapping, foot stomping, and tambourine, and it's just human activity there. I'm not really hitting anything, you know. There's no hitting going on there other than the tambourine.
That's awesome. Let's share the song now. We'll let our listeners hear this. This is Jay Semco and Come Get a Little Love on In the Country.
Come get a little love, come get a little love, come get a little love, come get it right now, 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 come get a little love. You got a little something I can't resist. I got a little something for you, I'll give you a little kiss. Well, come get a little love, come get a little love. Come get a little love. Come get it right now. Come get it right now. Come get it right now. Come get it right now.
now. Come and get a little love. Come and get a little love. Come and get a little love. Come and get it right now.
And that is my guest on the line from Saskatchewan, Jay Semko. The song is Come Get a Little Love. You'll find that on his current album called Sending Love. And, yeah, that's got a really cool sound, a cool vibe there. Do you put a lot of your production ideas into your songs? Like, do you have the ideas of how you'd like it produced?
You know, it sort of depends on the song. You know, I really, Dave, it's really just one of those things where that one, I liked the way it sounded in the room when I just did the stops and I played it on the acoustic guitar and I sang it in the bathroom. You know, I was humming it away and there was a little echo in the room in the hotel.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
It's kind of a Sun Records kind of vibe going on here with the delay and on the voice. And I thought, well, okay, let's just try and keep that. I really wanted to keep it in that tone there. So one of those ones where, you know, just all the stars lined up. And I must say, the thing I've kind of learned, it's taken me a long time to learn this, and I've had to make a lot of records to figure this out, is don't second guess your gut instinct on things. And, you know, not that you shouldn't put maximum amount of care that you can into a recording or into a song, but if something's just speaking to you and it's just happening and it's just there, it's like, go with it. Just go with it. And that's what I did with that song, and I don't know, I'm really happy with the way that turned out.
What artists out there, Jay, from any genre, whether it's country, pop, rock, what artists out there are ones that, if you've got a mental list of people down the road you'd like to work with in the studio, whether maybe it's just harmony for a song or it's a full-out duet, can you give us a couple of names of some people you'd like to work with down the road, if that's something that, in fact, interests you?
Wow, what a great question that is. Sort of, well, you know, I have people who are friends of mine that I would love to record with them, and one of them would be Michelle Wright. I would love something with Michelle. Michelle, actually, it's interesting because she was really just getting going in the early days I wouldn't say the early days of the Pikes, but it was, I'm trying to remember what year that was. It would have been in the late 80s. And they were doing kind of a feature on up-and-coming female singers during the Juno Awards. And I was actually presenting an award that year. And I saw Michelle for the first time singing there. And she was great. They also had, I think they also had Katie Lang. And I can't remember who else they had, but it was really a cool thing. It was like, and since then, you know, we've got to know each other a little bit. Interestingly, you know, she was on an episode of Due South as a guest star on there.
That's
and
right.
One of my few acting roles I've ever had, and I was an acoustic guitar player in her backup band in that particular episode of Due South. So I was there for 2 days of shooting, and it was really a fun experience for me because Ronnie Hawkins was the bass player in her band. So I basically got to hang out with Ronnie Hawkins and Michelle Wright for a couple of days, and and
that's a lot
the other
of
guys in the band. It was a blast. I really had fun. It was really a cool thing. So that would be somebody. You know, I mean, there's so many great artists out there. Really, I mean, boy, that's a great question. You know, I mean, I see some people and I marvel at their talent. I look at a guy like Brad Paisley, and I've seen him a few times, and he just blows me away at how good he is on stage and what a great guitar player he is.
Yeah.
You know, if you can get a guy like that to play on one of your songs or something, I mean, that would be really cool. I mean, you know, I have certain idols of mine that I think are just incredible legends, and I mean, one of them would be Gordon Lightfoot. I mean, it'd be really neat to actually have Gordon Lightfoot appear on a record. You know, the first Pikes record that we did with Virgin was called Big Blue Sky, and Gordon's percussionist and drummer, Barry Keane, came and played some percussion on there, and he and our drummer, Donnie Schmidt, became really good pals and still are good pals to this day. And, you know, I've met Gordon before, but he would be a cool guy to work with. There's so many. I mean, it's just like when I think of it, it's like who wouldn't want to have somebody just to spend an hour hearing a guy like, you know, Paul McCartney or somebody like that sitting in the studio would be pretty cool, you know?
That would be for sure. Now, on your songwriting side of things, back in 2009, you were a finalist in the John Lennon Songwriting Contest, very well-known songwriting contest, and you were in the category of gospel inspirational songs for Jesus Is Gonna Help Me. So that's a whole side of you there. Do you write a lot of gospel and inspirational songs specifically?
Well, you know, it's interesting because, you know, I've had a number of ups and downs in my life, Dave, and I've fought a few battles, and it's one day at a time for me in terms of avoiding some of the bad substances that I've had trouble with in the past. And but you know, I look at all those experiences as now I look at them as positive because they've gotten me to where I am right now, which is a person who's been clean and sober for a while. And man, it feels great. But that song came right from the heart. That was written in a time of crisis for me in my life, and I just spoke that right from the heart. I wrote those lyrics, and I never set out to really write gospel songs. That one, Jesus Is Going to Help Me, ended up, you know, and I thought, well, I've never entered really a contest with a song, and somebody said, oh, I entered that one in a contest, in the John Lennon contest, and I did, and it was a runner-up, you know, for the world, and it was kind of flabbergasting to me. I mean, I kind of go, wow, okay. And then I had another song called Drop You in the Water, which was a gospel song from an album that I did in 2010. It was self-titled. It was called Jay Semcoe. And that was also a finalist in the World Independent Music Awards.
Wow.
I was only Canadian in the category and the only guy in the category. So I didn't win, but it was just very much an honor to be nominated. But once again, that was in the gospel category there, and I've become a much more spiritual person. I always had that in me, but I think having gone through some of the things I've gone through, and I'm grateful that I've gone through them because I feel like I'm much better, in a much better position in life, and I've really been given very much a second chance in many aspects of my life. So I'm grateful for every day that comes along, and those songs are right from the heart. And so my plan is to actually do I hesitate to just call it a gospel record, but there would be gospel songs on it, a spiritually conscious record, I think. I'm planning to do that next year, and that's one of the things I've got in my plans for the next little while, and I really enjoy doing that, and I know that those songs have a really positive impact with people, and that really makes me feel good. You know, I'm just lucky that I can actually write something that people can relate to, and it creates a positive feeling, you know?
Well, I was going to say, it must be great, I mean, to not only write the fun songs that people sing along to, but when you're getting to this point, you've gone through stuff, and now you're putting some of those feelings or emotions into these songs. Other people are going to listen to them. It's going to have a positive impact on them. That's got to be a great feeling to know your music can do that.
You know, it is a great feeling, and I just feel so lucky that I feel very much that I've been very blessed and that I can, you know, I have sort of a, I've worked hard at my songwriting and worked hard at my music. At the same time, I know that I have a certain element of God-given talent, you know, that's been given to me. And I feel like in some ways I feel obligated, like I have to use this and I have to use it for good purpose. And, you know, not that every song that you write has to be an inspirational song, you know, Come Get a Little Love is a fun song and if people dig it,
that's great,
you know.
Yeah.
And, But really, at the end of the day, I feel like I, in some ways, you know, the nice thing about having gotten a little older and having survived to this point is that you get a certain sense of clarity in your vision about certain things. And at the same time, I love taking chances with music and seeing what's out there. But, you know, I know what works for me, and I know the songs that I, the direction that I really like to write my songs in. And, you know, I'm lucky because I still do lots of music for film and TV, and that enables me to stretch things out in other directions as well. But, you know, once again, I feel like life is too short to be spending a lot of time on things that are negative or not really something that can do myself good or others good. So I try and make my decisions in regards to the projects that I'm working on, you know, to keep things in a bit of a more positive vein that way, you know.
Right. Now, Jake, do you ever write songs with other artists in mind? I mean, most of the stuff you write, you sing yourself, but do you sit down and think, okay, I'm going to try to write a song, not that it's not your voice, but write a song that you could sing, but I'm going to pitch this to so-and-so.
You know, I can't say that I really have. I mean, I've done, you know, some songs that I've done. I had a demo for a song called She Won't Be Lonely Long, which I wrote with Willie Mack and Jill Goddard a number of years ago. And I know they were pitching it around. They're both people that live in Nashville and are well-connected in those circles. And they had, I can't remember who sang the original demo on it, but basically I ended up kind of doing a version on my record with my own voice, because I thought, well, geez, I really like this song, and why not do a version of it? And, you know, I was hoping somebody would pick up on it. But, No, I can't say that I do, although I have certainly written songs with other artists. And when I'm co-writing with a certain artist and I'm aware that they're, you know, like I've done a lot of co-writes with a lot of different people. And obviously when you're aware that you're writing for them, you tend to, you know, for me, I find, what are their strengths and what are they looking for, and what is the vibe of the music that they're kind of trying to find, and what is the personality within the context of them as an artist and as a person? You know, like for instance, the last Sean Hogan record, there's a co-write. He and I did a song called, I keep wanting to call it Silvery Moon, but it's not Silvery Moon. It's One Kiss from You. And you know, Sean started working on it, and the seed of the idea came from a song that I've been working on previously with another friend who's a songwriter, David J. Taylor. And so then I took this seed of an idea that Dave Taylor and I had worked on and presented it to Sean. And at first I was hesitant, thinking, I don't know if this is going to be something he likes. And then he really dug it and just ended up really clicking, and I love his recorded version of that song. But I didn't do that song with myself in mind. You know, I really wrote it with Sean in mind. And I've done that with other artists as well, where I'm aware that I'm working on some music with them for them. You know,
you move the writing in that direction for them specifically.
Yeah, specifically. You know, I did a song last year with Crystal McGrath, who's an artist out of Calgary, and you know, I really love the song, but I don't know if it's a song that would work for me, but I wrote it, you know, to work for Crystal, you know, in conjunction with her.
Sense.
And really how you kind of bear it in mind, and that's sort of what I've done. Hey, I've got songs that I kind of go, geez, I really think this would be a great song for Tim McGraw to record or something, and and who knows, maybe sometime you can get them into their hands. I think that's the biggest challenge often with huge artists. If you've got something you want them to cut, it's just getting them to hear it or getting it into their manager's hands, you know, so that they can give it an honest listen and decide whether it be something they'd like to cut, you know?
That's right. Well, let's turn to a great song from you, from your current album, in fact. And this is a really nice love song. It's a beautiful song called Harmony. And what can you tell us about the inspiration behind it, Jay, and the writing?
Well, all of the songs on Sending Love on that album were really love songs in one way or another, whether they be romantic love songs or spiritual songs concerning love, or, you know, looking at love in a broader spectrum. And that Harmony is very much a one-on-one summer afternoon, laying down with the person you love and just trying to forget about life and just not think about anything except the person that you're with and being in harmony. And you know, it's a great feeling, and that's what I tried to really capture in terms of the song. I mean, musically, there's some great guitar work on this song from Russell Broom, and Russ played guitar on a number of the songs on Sending Love, and you would know Russ from his work with Jan Arden. He's produced a number of albums with her and is a great session player and a great producer, and I was lucky enough to have Russ come in and do some really atmospheric guitar work that really adds such a nice dreamy texture to everything else that's going on in the song. And it's also it's the longest note I've ever held on a record before. The word harmony, the chorus, is a longly held note, and I you know, I quit smoking a number of years ago, and I really think I'm a good poster boy for that, because there's no way I could have held that note that long ago, 10 years ago, I'll tell you.
That's a great result of not smoking. Let's hear it now. This is my guest, Jay Semko, and the song Harmony on In the Country.
Just keep it simple, is what you said. There's only you and me tonight. I'll kiss you gently, I'll hold your hand, she said. I'll be your woman, you'll be my man. And we sang a song so sweet, we were in harmony. Something so sacred, something so deep, put us in God's hands when we were fast asleep. And when the dawn arrived, we woke up with the sun. We made love until the day was done. And we sang a song so sweet, we were
And that is a beautiful song and a long-held note there on harmony from my guest, Jay Semko, on the line from Saskatchewan. You can learn more about him and all his previous albums and song samples and much more at jaysemko.com. Jay, I want to thank you so much for being on the show. Great to hear your stories, the start of the Northern Pikes up to the current album and everything in between. It's been a pleasure having you on the show.
Well, thanks, Dave. Thanks for having me. I had a blast today.
Really enjoyed it, and look forward to learning more about you online and hearing more of the songs. And again, be sure to check out Jay Semko's latest album, which is called Sending Love, and it features Harmony, which we just heard in the song earlier in the show, Come Get a Little Love. I'm Dave Woods, and that'll wrap up this edition of In the Country.